Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadget 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Nokia 5.1 Plus. Now, the Nokia 5.1 Plus is an interesting smartphone for multiple reasons. The primary one among them is the fact that it's not very expensive. Since this smartphone is fairly cheap, it's also got one more advantage that makes it really appealing for us, which is the fact that the Nokia 5.1 Plus is a part of the Android One program. Now, this means that it's guaranteed to get quick updates, maybe not as fast as the Google Pixel phones, which already have Android Pie. This one is still on Android 8.1 Oreo. Now, we have been speaking about Nokia phones for quite a while, and we've noticed that in the past maybe 6 months or so, the phones they've released, they've all been pretty good value for money. And the closer we get to that, you know, nice 5,000 rupee price point, the more interesting the phone gets for us because more people can buy these phones. So, in this podcast, we have our deputy reviews editor and the person who's reviewing the Nokia 5.1 Plus, that is Royden Sarejo.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And we also have the second reviewer who has been reviewing a bunch of other phones. That's Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
Now, Aditya is a diehard Nokia fan. He knows more about Nokia than probably the CEO of HMD Global. And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So we have a very interesting panel for talking about this smartphone. So for the Nokia 5.1 Plus, which of you wants to tell me about the price of this phone?
So, the Nokia 5.1 Plus is priced at 10,990 rupees, so like 11,000 rupees. And it actually looks like good value.
Yeah, so it has 3GB of RAM and 32GB of storage, if I'm not mistaken, with support for an expandable storage slot. Now, this phone, well, I've been looking at the specifications and seems quite good value. Royden, I mean, do you have any idea of like whether the MediaTek processor in there, does it like look good to you, bad, etc.?
So it's got this Helio P60, which I think was used also on the Realme 1.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other phones around that price. It's not a bad SoC. I mean, I know many people associate MediaTek with, you know, having inferior or low performance chipsets because generally that was the type of phones that would use MediaTek in the past at least. But the Helio series has been pretty solid in terms of performance. And the P60 that's there on the Nokia, even though it doesn't have like 4 and 6GB of RAM, I think the Android one, the bone stock Android and the combination of the RAM and everything really help it have good performance. Like, I've not really noticed any issues, any like real slowdowns or anything that would, you know, make my experience bad in any way.
Yeah, so the Realme one also had the same chip as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is that the Realme one runs ColorOS, which is Oppo's custom version of Android.
Yeah.
Whereas the Nokia runs stock Android.
Yeah.
Now, this may not mean like much for most people, but for us, it means a lot because we do value having, you know, no interference in terms of like updates. You know, the manufacturer takes time to put in their own customizations on top of Google's version of Android, and then updates never end up making it. Since this is an Android one phone, you can rest assured that at least for like the next 18 months or so, it will get software updates as fast as possible. Now, we have seen that Nokia's track record is pretty good, except for the fact that one of their phones recently had some certification issue and could not get Android 9 Pie. But overall, I mean, we can expect, you know, good software updates and the fact that the experience will not be marred by some bloatware. So no pre-installed apps, right? Apart from whatever Google mandates.
No, absolutely nothing. In fact, you just get a few gestures in the settings app, but there's no SEP extra apps as such.
Yeah.
So just like the Motorola One Power that I reviewed, so they put like Moto Actions on top. So basic ones. I think Google kind of allows manufacturers to add a few features, but not anything that takes it away from the stock Android experience.
Yeah, right. So, you know, now that you mentioned it, I will talk about competition. I will ask you both about your thoughts on the competition at a slightly later stage. First, let's look at the one thing that really stands out in this to my eyes, which is that this battery capacity is just 3060 milliampere hours. But Royden, I believe you've had a pretty good experience with the battery life.
Yeah, so I'm testing it currently, and so far what I've noticed is that like even with a bunch of games like PUBG and stuff, I've still managed to get 24 hours of usage and going, like, you know, so it's managed to go beyond 24 hours with about 3 to 3.5 hours of screen on time, which is not bad. I would say I was quite surprised. I mean, I wasn't expecting it from this sort of a battery capacity.
Yeah, so we've previously seen maybe, you know, not so good performance from phones with massive battery capacities, such as the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 when it launched, when we had a review in it with us. We thought it was stunning value for money. At 11,000 rupees, you're getting the Snapdragon 636, which is a superior chip in many ways to the P60. But the battery capacity was 5,000 milliampere hour, but it didn't last us the full 2 days as we would have expected from that.
Yeah.
So this chip is clearly much more efficient.
Yeah, and I think it's also all down to a combination of everything, right? Software and hardware.
Yeah.
So, and I think this HMD Global has seemed to have struck a good balance between the two in the 5.1 Plus.
Yeah, clearly. So I was actually a bit worried because this is, I think, the first Android One phone that I'm coming across which has the MediaTek Helio P60 processor, and you know, is also like available in India. So yeah, you know, that's why I was a bit worried, but it's really good to see the fact that, you know, battery life is not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Now we have spoken about the Nokia 6.1 Plus on a previous episode of this podcast, and there we mentioned that the build quality was superb. Like, we really like the fact that it has a nice premium glass build, glass at the back and obviously at the front because the screen. We like the fact that it had glass build quality, but what about the 5.1 Plus? Have they cut any corners to achieve that price point?
No, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, it's quite shocking. Like, one of the things that would really grab your attention with this phone is that at this price, it manages to look and feel really premium. Like, it easily feels like a phone that should be costing at least 6,000 or 7,000 rupees more. And like, you know, hats off to them for pulling this off. So that is something that will really strike you. I'm not a big fan of the thick borders around the display. I mean, it has pretty thick borders and a pretty wide notch, which could have been used better because there is no notification LED and there clearly is plenty of free space in the notch for a notification LED. But for some reason, it's not there.
Yes.
Yeah. Because even the notch on the 5.1 Plus is a lot bigger than the one on the 6.1 Plus. You know, that was Nokia's first smartphone with a notch in India.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had a very small notch in comparison. I'm actually surprised that they haven't put a notification LED in this thing, considering you have a lot of space for it.
I mean, they have this screen wake-up gesture where when you lift the phone, the sort of the screen, you know,
Lights up
a bit to show you the time and if you have any notification. But that's really no replacement for having an actual LED, right? Mm. You still have to lift the phone in order to see if you have any notifications.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that you guys like that notification LED so much, because in my experience, at least, I've seen it with the Mi A1, and every time that LED glows now, I just feel like stabbing that LED out of the phone and like shutting it off permanently.
I mean, again, it depends on how you implement. Like, if you have like a really cheap one, then it would...
Well, I think on the Mi A1, you only have a single tone LED, right?
Yeah.
Only a single white LED, which
makes
it really hard to figure out what notification you have. But mostly with my experience, I kind of know that, okay, if you have a green LED, blinking light, it's a call. If you have a blue one, you probably have missed, you know, a WhatsApp message or something of that sort. So
then just your phone should be permanently just glowing blue, man, because WhatsApp notification never stops.
Well, I've muted a lot of people, so yeah. But apart from that, it's easier to know, you know, just by looking at a phone and the blinking LED, I can figure out if I should actually go ahead and pick the phone up to probe further, or else I can just ignore it completely and go about working.
Yeah, same. Yeah, like I rely on the LED notification a lot, even on the S9 Plus, because even from afar, you know, if like Shenoy said, you should even bother checking what's on your phone, because you know what that message or what app has sent that notification. So you could just ignore it.
Well, I see you're wearing a Mi Band 2. So why not use that to see what notification is coming
in? But the Mi Band 2, the notifications are not persistent in the sense once they come in and if you miss it, it's gone.
It's gone.
Well, there's one other point to that as well. You know, Pranay, having a Mi Band or even a smartwatch, whenever you have a notification, it kind of zaps you out of whatever you're doing. So if you're writing, for example, it'll distract you completely because you will stop pretty much what you're doing and look at the notification, which could have waited in some cases.
Hmm.
You know, that is one thing that have bothered me about.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you guys have made a compelling case for the notification LED. And it is a bit sad that, you know, the 5.1 Plus does not have this. So apart from this, on the display and build quality section, do you want to say anything else, like any other oddities? Obviously, it has a 3.5mm headphone jack, which is a good thing.
Yeah. No, actually, besides that premium look and feel, this is, I think, one of the few phones, if not the only phone in this price range to have a USB Type-C port. This is something which we don't see very often at all, especially from these Chinese manufacturers who have flooded this segment of the market. So it's really refreshing to see HMD Global sticking to that Type-C port, even on a phone that's cost as low as 11,000 rupees.
No, because that is interesting, because the first time Royden got the phone out of the box, I do remember his reaction, because he just went, hey, Type-C port hai. You know, that was something I will remember Nokia 5.1 Plus for, because at a price point of like 11,000 rupees, exactly. This is pretty much the first device with the Type-C port at that point.
Yeah, so I am not sure if at that price point, at this moment in time, it is a pro, it's a benefit, because, you know, in that price point, all phones have micro USB. So somebody has to make the change, sure. But you may face some trouble finding a spare cable.
You know, it's a move in the right direction, but I think Nokia could have, or HMD Global could have added a micro USB to a Type-C adapter, bundled it in the box, just so that, you know, people who aren't used to Type-C devices at the moment find it convenient with their existing micro USB cables.
Yeah, it's pretty much the entire world, right? Because 90% of Android devices would have micro USB, and even I would probably be surprised if even 10% of Android devices in the world right now use USB Type-C for charging.
Yeah,
I mean, while Samsung S9 and Note 9 sell a lot of units, you know, the overall smartphone volume is so huge that I think
Type-C... because, you know, even in the all phones about 25,000 rupees, except a few Vivo and Oppo phones, they all have the USB Type-C port. But like you said, majority of Android volume comes from the sub 15 to 20,000 rupees segment.
Yeah.
Like lower than that.
Lower. So apart from that, you know, strange or maybe innovative choice of charging port, this phone, like in terms of looks and all, we mentioned that it's premium. There are no complaints in terms of the battery life as well. But it's a dual SIM phone.
It's a hybrid dual SIM phone.
So no two SIM card slots. Like, you either put a micro SD card or a second SIM card. Right. So that's one more interesting thing about this phone. Now, you have tested the camera, I believe, Royden.
I have tested it a bit. I haven't done too much of video work, but the camera seems decent. What I do not like is the lag, which is there when you're shooting in HDR. So that is really annoying, especially if you're trying to shoot something that's moving or, you know, just HDR in general. It just takes a second or two longer to save that image. And in that time, you could have moved, or your subject could have moved. And then you end up with, you don't end up with the shot that you wanted to get, essentially. So that is something which I found a bit annoying.
So you may also see ghosting when you're clicking a moving object.
There is a bit of ghosting. Okay. So that, I mean, but then again, looking at the price point, I'm not really going to complain too much. Although I still have to see how the video and the low light, it performs in low light.
Yeah, so I remember one of you mentioning that you did try playing some games on it and it heated up quite quickly. That was PUBG Mobile, right?
Yeah, so not only PUBG, actually, a bunch of any other games, most of the games that we try, as soon as we loaded it up, basically, I think when the GPU really kicks in. So the portion below the camera where the LED flashes, that little area, metal area, that is the thing that gets hot. That heats up quickly, really quickly compared to everything else. And the middle portion of the phone gets warm really fast whenever you're playing a game.
And this is something we have seen with the Helio P60, because we've reviewed the Oppo F9 Pro and the Oppo F9 as well that I'm currently reviewing. And yeah, the processor does get warm with load. So I'm not surprised that the 5.1 Plus is also...
Yeah, I think this is more to do with the trait of the P16 SoC more than anything.
Yeah, so should mention that we tested this phone in Mumbai in October, end of September and early October. So
which is crazy hot these days.
Yeah, I mean, it is hot, but it's not maybe April hot. So, you know, in a lot of parts of India, it's going to be much hotter. Like, we have temperatures of, what, 35 degrees during the day now. And most of these tests were conducted in an AC room.
Yeah, so, that's another thing. Even an AC room, it would heat up quite a bit.
Yeah, so if you're playing a game in a non-AC local train or a bus somewhere outside in the middle of the day in peak summer, well, I mean, God only knows what's going to happen. Anyway, so jokes aside, now I think we should talk about the competition for the smartphone. So I can think of a bunch of phones right away. Now, there is the Redmi 6, which the higher end variant. 4 GB RAM and 64 GB of storage.
3 GB of RAM, 64 GB of
internal storage. 3 GB of RAM and
9499.
Yeah, that's at 9,499 rupees. There's the Asus ZenFone Max Pro M1 with 3 GB RAM, 32 GB storage at 11,000 rupees, exact same price as the Nokia 5.1 Plus. Then there is the Oppo, I mean not Oppo, sorry. The independent companies now, I apologize. Realme 1 at 10,990 rupees, exact same price. Now these three phones compete pretty much directly with it. And then there's also the Redmi 6 Pro, which we did not really like that much.
Yeah.
But it also competes with this phone. So the competition is intense. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I've forgotten a couple of phones, you know, in this, because the 10 to 15,000 rupee price segment is really crowded.
Yeah.
So, does the Nokia 5.1 Plus have enough to maybe stave off the competition? Would you recommend it over these phones that I mentioned?
I think I would. I mean, I would definitely recommend it over the Realme 1, plainly because it's older now. And I don't know how often Realme updates the versions of ColorOS. So that is something I would say avoid, maybe.
ColorOS isn't the best skin to start with, right?
Honestly, yeah. In my opinion, it's definitely one of the worst custom skins out there. I personally hate it. I mean, okay, yeah.
It looks good on an iPhone, though.
It was made to look like an iPhone. But I personally, I'm not a big fan of ColorOS. Especially for that stupid two-step, method of dismissing notification. Yeah. Like, why would you add an extra step to something?
Something you do pretty much all the time
all
on your phone.
All the time. Like, imagine how annoying that is when you have to swipe it and then hit delete to dismiss a notification.
Mm. And you know what makes it worse? Oppo also keeps sending spammy notifications from its apps. Like, the browser keeps sending me a multiple notifications.
Maybe that's why it's difficult. They could just see our ads.
Yeah, that's how.
So, anyway, I think we're like diverting a bit from the main topic here. So, yeah, I think one of the biggest competitors to it would be the ZenFone Max Pro M1, in my opinion, because it's equally powerful. It's a pretty good all-rounder, I think, at that price. However, you can't really ignore the 5.1 Plus purely because of the Android One program and the guaranteed timely updates for the next, 2 years or something.
Yeah, but then again, you know, the ZenFone does have more powerful hardware, right? The Max Pro M1.
True, but let's say if you're only going to be playing a few games, WhatsApp and a few calls, would you really make full use of that extra power in the hardware offers?
I mean, it's an interesting point to consider, but when you're getting more in terms of power for the same price, I would still say a lot of people would want to maybe consider that over the Nokia 5.1 Plus, because, I mean, look at it. A lot of people who buy smartphones online, they are the kind of people who would, you know, it's like younger audience, first of all. Then they also are into gaming a lot. So, I mean, I think most people would want to get more power.
Enough. I mean, especially in games like PUBG, which is hugely popular nowadays, and even in India. I think, yeah, the ZenFone Max Pro M1 would probably
offer better. And also, since you mentioned the fact that it does heat up a bit, you know, that also concerns me. So, Snapdragon 636, we know, is a more efficient chip in terms of, like, thermals also.
Yeah, probably this is not the best phone for gaming then, I guess.
Yeah. So, Aditya, what do you think? The Redmi 6 is the one you reviewed, right? Yeah. And Redmi 6 Pro is also one phone you're intimately familiar with by now.
So the Redmi 6 compared to the Nokia 5.1 Plus, I would personally pick the Nokia 5.1 Plus.
Because you love Android.
No, even Redmi, Android. I like stock Android. I think everyone knows that by now. But the Redmi 6 is powered by a Helio P22 processor. Yeah. Whereas this thing is the 5.1 Plus is powered by a P60.
Yeah.
So the P60 is more powerful than the P22 to begin with. On top of that, I can choose between pure stock Android versus spammy MIUI. So, you know, that just makes my decision a lot more
just
easy.
Go to gadgets360.com. We have a full tutorial on how to remove every single ad on
MIUI.
Don't
want to do it in the first place. Like, you know, why have ads in
nice
the first
plug
place?
Nice
But that said, you know, the price difference between the two is 1,500 rupees. And for that, what I'm getting over the Redmi 6 is I'm getting a more powerful processor. I'm getting a USB Type-C port. I'm getting Android One, which means guaranteed software updates for the next 2 years and security updates for 3 years.
Yeah, except when there is certification issue and then updates get delayed.
That will get solved and you will get the update anyway. But on Redmi, you will get updates to MIUI. But the stock underlying software would pretty much be the same on the Redmi 6.
Yeah.
At least the entry level smartphones, I don't think they are going to go ahead and update.
Just get a new phone in a few months anyways.
Yeah.
So I should mention that the ZenFone Max Pro M1 has actually been quite easily available, even the base variant. I went to Flipkart just this morning and I checked, and all three variants are available to buy right now.
So which one did you buy?
None. Because broke.
Yeah.
Anyway, once Diwali bonus comes in, just ask me the same question. I think that the Zenfone Max Prime 1, since it's easily available, a lot of people would definitely consider it over the Nokia 5.1 Plus. Because at this point, the 5.1 Plus is going on flash sales every single week online. So the best phone that you can buy is the one you really can buy. Yeah. So that is something to keep in mind when you're in the market.
I hope Nokia gets you know, more stock and has to do away with this flash sale thing. And what I have seen is there are two color variants. That is blue and black. And the blue one is, it goes out of stock very quickly. So probably what I did see during the last sale is that the black one was still available even an hour after the sale went live. Whereas the blue one was out of stock in 15 minutes, even before 15 minutes.
Interesting.
So yeah, so you know, it does not look like a stock. Like it as of now, it looks like a stock issue. Because there are limited quantities available. But if Nokia can get a lot of units available, then I think it can make do with this flash sale thingy soon.
Yeah, exactly. So that's probably why I personally would pick the Zenfone Max Pro M1. You have to make certain trade-offs. You know, it's not like the Zenfone Max Pro M1 is a perfect phone. We felt that the software optimization on that was not as good as what Nokia has achieved with the 5.1 Plus. But it's available, right? I mean, if my phone conks off right now, if it's dying and I'm struggling to even get through the day with my phone right now, why would I wait for another week for a flash sale where I may or may not get the color variant I want? So I think that's pretty much it for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you are one of those tech-savvy people who use these fancy apps to listen to your podcasts, please go to Apple Podcasts on your iPhone or Google Podcasts on your Android phone or whichever other app you like and subscribe to this show and also rate us on these platforms. Your ratings, your reviews, your subscriptions, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.